Curious about owning land, growing your own food, or building income that doesn't depend on you showing up every day? That's what I'm doing, and this is where I share exactly how. Welcome to Seed in Society. I'm Makeda Boehm, an AI strategist, homesteader, and tech sales leader turning paychecks into lasting multi-million dollar wealth. I use automation, food-producing land, and digital income streams to build real assets and long-term freedom for my family and help others do the same. If you're done trading time for survival and want to build on your own terms, you're in the right place. You know this podcast is about systems, so land, digital income, long-term sovereignty. And today, to all of my viewers, very excited to start bringing you guests. I bought a guest who helps people make their money, support their life, and not sabotage it. So we have Monica Kaufman. She is a certified financial planner. And Monica, your message about wealth is being more than income. And that really hit me, because how did you come to that realization in your work? Yeah. And why did it hit me? Because it's exactly what I talk about here at Seed in Society and on this platform. We are all about how can you use money again as a tool, which you talk about, and it is not the end goal. To give you a very quick background on me, I live on 10 acres, mortgage free. It was very big for me to move here, and I am I'm in tech sales, and I use my commission to find a way to be able to opt out from the system if I want to. And currently, I am on track to be able to retire by 40.
Fire. You are fire, baby. You're doing it.
On fire now. And that's really huge for someone who's been on their own since 16, worked three jobs through college, and just kind of understood from the other side that if you don't create safety, it can all be taken from you very quickly.
Yeah, it really can. And it really, really can. So the first thing is that my husband has had major depression. He was diagnosed first time 2001. And it was when my father was dying. So here you have, you know, my father was dying. It was a very ugly, poorly managed scene, but I don't know anybody who really does that well. And then on the other side, my husband had all these issues that just came to the forefront when my father was going down. And so that really hit me. And all of a sudden, everything changed in an instant. The doctor said this is going to be a long-term issue. And the second time around, when he had major depression, caused me anger, sadness, all of it, went through the entire grief cycle. And I wasn't easy to be around, but the fear and all of it just came up. I mean, I don't have good words for it. I'm a very verbal person, and it just hurts. I mean, it just hurts even when I think back on it.
Yeah.
I went to work in financial planning and in the financial world because I'd worked in economics, I'd worked in business consulting with women business owners, and this was a way for me to bring it all together. And I wound up at Merrill Lynch, which was a phenomenal training ground at the time. Not fun on some levels, but they said that they were the Marine Corps of the financial world. Maybe, maybe not, doesn't matter, okay?
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair to the Marine Corps, but that's okay. So anyways, at the time, people kept telling me, read the book, The Millionaire Next Door. Read the book, read the book, read the book. I didn't read it, too arrogant to read it. And then all of a sudden, I got two referrals. And the referrals came in around about the same time. There was this guy who kept coming to the office 3-4 times a week. He would stop off, and he didn't look like he had money. So the question was, what was he doing here? Turns out, he had a tremendous amount of money. And that was my first hard brick wall that maybe my perceptions were not accurate. Then the two referrals came in. One of them was a doctor, very successful, very good man, married, 4 children, but he'd gotten sick. He'd had a stroke. And then the other referral that came in at the same time was from a CPA, and it was for special needs financial advisory. And what that is when you have to plan for two different sets of lives. So you may have the parents, and then you have the person who's not going to be financially independent, who can't. And this young lady at the time was born with multiple issues, each one of which would have been enough to put her in that category. She was nonverbal. She had a speech board. She was a quadriplegic. And her parents were what I would call middle class. And they made a decision early in their marriage, long before she was on her way, that they were going to live off of one income, save and invest the other. The only debt they ever carried was their house, which they paid off. And when their daughter was born, they looked reality straight in the eye and they said, okay, we've got a problem. He had some dry cleaning stores, I believe. He sold them off. And then he went to work managing somebody else's business, which was another very, very funny story about business and family. And they literally invested all the way along. So even though neither one of them had earned more at the time than like, I think $50,000 or $55,000 a year separately, they lived off one extraordinarily frugally. And they invested the other. And I stood there and I watched it and I watched what they had, which was enormous because they'd built it up over time. They understood investments. They understood financial issues. They had their estate plan done and checked every 5 years. That's how they wound up being referred to me. They wanted a new advisor. They understood all the facets. They understood their tax situation, their daughter's tax situation, all of it. They trusted, but they verified. They were the quintessential knowledgeable consumers. Whereas most people walk in the room with a financial advisor, and forgive me for saying this, if 80% of the population doesn't understand this, how are they going to know if they're getting the advice they need? It's an emotional reaction, which may or may not reflect reality.
Huh?
Okay. Don't get me wrong. I try to bond very hard with my clients. Why? Because I need for them to tell me what's going on. Because the money is there to provide for their lives. They're not working. They work to live. They don't live to work. They invest and save to provide for the future. The future is not there for them to continue investing and saving, okay, for no reason. I want them to invest and save for the rest of their lives. I want them to die with a surplus, but that's a different thing. So it was really a hard core reality shift. And at that point, I went out and bought The Millionaire Next Door and figured out, oh, that's exactly what I'm seeing right here. Right? The data wasn't wrong. They were right. And the course of my professional career over time, okay, so I believe in God. I'm a very religious person. And not always observant, but I am a religious person. And I look at this and I see it. And when you cooperate with the arc of your life, things go easier. But you don't see the true path of the development and the strength of the faith and the belief and sort of the hand of God until you look back. Okay. Or at least I didn't. Other people may be more aware and much more attuned than I am. And I'm willing to accept that. So that's how I started to see this. And I started to see this more and more and more. And I also saw, conversely, so many people, not just in the industry, has a lot of people in it that unfortunately, God help me, don't belong in it. But there's also 80% of the population does not know how to navigate the system they're in. And that means they are vulnerable and they are easily controllable and manipulated. And you lose your freedom. It's the old saying, if I don't control my choices, somebody else will make them for me.
Absolutely.
If I don't control my money, somebody else will make those decisions for me. Pick.
Yeah, no, you are in the right place. Monica, that's exactly what we speak about. One thing that I talk about in regards to that is why this is tied intrinsically to homesteading. It's this idea that when you have to spend money, you have your essentials, which is food and water and shelter. And if you don't control those things, even having an HOA, even having uncontrollable property taxes that can go up, if you have a 30-year mortgage that you're not planning on paying off sooner so that you can have those dividends and have more money to invest and actually own that property. And of course, there are exceptions for everything, but that's where it's about taking it even a step further. But what I'm interested from you is, how do we raise kids who are financially literate, emotionally disciplined, or even like you just said, within that mindset of those two clients that you have, so that they don't fall into that same trap of having high income but low optionality.
Well, I think I didn't adequately explain what happened with the first one, which was the doctor. When he had the stroke, he didn't have enough assets underneath him to maintain the lifestyle. If it wasn't for that disability insurance that he got through his employer that he was forced to get, he and his family would have had a hard time. Okay. So literally what I will tell people when they first start is that if you have to work for a living, if you can't afford to not work, the first benefit you get through your employer, if it is offered, is disability, because you have a 70% chance of using it at some point in your lifetime.
Okay? Interesting.
According to the Social Security Administration.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating.
And you would rather, quite frankly, depend on that than depend on Social Security. First of all, it's difficult to get. Second of all, it can take 2 years. It's an unpleasant process. And how are you going to live between now and then? And having had phone calls from people, I do a lot of pro bono work where somebody will call and say, somebody needs help. Can you help? And I had a 26-year-old who was in a car accident, no fault of her own. She had a full-time job. She had a part-time gig where she was doing personal training. She did not have disability income protection, and she was in a car accident, underinsured or uninsured motorist. She did not have coverage to replace her income, and she was in a real position of difficulty. Now, she recovered, and she's okay now. But it's one of those things where it's like when I talk to young people, I'm like, look, I have absolutely nothing to gain from saying this other than my own conscience. If you get a job with somebody and they offer you disability, that's the first thing you get. Because if it's group policy, it's going to cost you what? The cost of a Starbucks beverage every 2 weeks or every week? You can't give that up?
It always blows my mind.
An adult beverage? Yeah. You won't give up an adult beverage to basically have that. And I remember having this argument with a young guy a few years ago, and he got a tech job. He's out in California, and he said, I don't want to spend the money. I said, I get it, but do it. And so he called me after his first paycheck reflected the benefit. He said, I want you to know. I said, oh no, are you mad at me? He said, Monica, it was $2.61 a week.
Yeah.
But the point is, it is extremely affordable if you buy it through your employer in a group policy. That's number one.
Yeah. But just within that vein, I talk about this so often, insurance. Insurance is my single highest expense per month. I am what some people probably would call overinsured. I have short-term disability, long-term, multiple life insurance policies that go into my trust. I tell people all the time, insurance is not the thing that you want to skimp on. I'm also fortunate. I work in tech where my long-term and short-term disability is included. But even if it's not, I tell my friends who are entrepreneurs, first thing they need to do is look up insurance policies, get short-term and long-term before something happens, because right. then it won't cover you.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. If you're leaving a job and you're doing something else, check and see with your previous employer, or your current employer before you leave, is it portable? Can you take it with you at the group rate, or can you convert it? Why? Because if there's a health issue or you cannot get the coverage at your new employer, you still need that coverage. That's not COBRA. That's actually converting over the life insurance. Insurance is there to be insurance to protect you in the events of something bad happen. What for the systems that I say to people is people who have money, okay, and who have a high degree of confidence about the way they handle money, knowing that they're going to make mistakes. No one is perfect. No one. Do not wait for perfection because it won't ever arrive. Okay. You gain clarity through motion. You get moving. Okay. It doesn't matter if you make a mistake, you're going to get right back up and you're going to not make it again.
Again, I want to thank Monica Kaufman for joining us. You can find more information about her at harmonywealthacademy.com. This is going to be a multiple part series, and we're looking forward to learning more. You can see more information in the show notes. And as usual, please check out seedandsociety.com so that you can get connected to what it is that we're doing and all of the amazing speakers we'll have on. And I'm looking forward to continuing this conversation.